Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, he has repeatedly emphasized that God in Christ has initiated, has started, has created a new freedom that previously didn't exist. In other words, that God has done something new, and something is now visible that couldn't be seen or realized or lived on before. And in that passage that we heard earlier as well from Isaiah, we saw a vision of a new situation, a new thing that God was going to do, where God would be Lord and ruler over all, teaching his ways of peace and justice so that there would be no more war and no more fighting. In both of these readings, God's people are permitted to see a way that is different to the visible circumstances around them, to see something that they couldn't see before. I wonder if you've ever noticed something that was there, but you didn't notice it, and if you had noticed it, if you'd have seen it, it would have made all the difference to what you did next. Well, I have. At the end of my first term at university here, there was about a week where all of my friends were still around in Cambridge, and the weather was super nice, like these last few days have been, and we thought we'd decide and go punting. Most of us had never been on a punt before. None of us had ever punted ourselves before. And so we hired one of the ferry punts, you know, the really big ones where you can all fit in and it's really wide. And we hired it just up past the rollers out towards Grantchester. So it was nice and clear. It wasn't busy like it sometimes gets around the colleges. And we all just had a go at punting, everyone having a turn that wanted to. And at one point, I decided that I'd like to have a go at this punting thing. And I did it so well. Like, it was great. I was going straight. It wasn't too slow. I was super impressed with myself to begin with. And then it started to go a bit wrong. I started going off course, and then I'd overcompensated and start going off course the other direction. And then we were coming towards this bridge, and I was focusing so hard on making sure I was going straight, and I was lined up with the middle of this bridge. And what I didn't see was how low this bridge was and how tall the punt pole that I was holding was. And as I dig this pole into the ground of the river and I push really hard to get us moving a bit faster, it suddenly becomes painfully obvious that where I am holding this pole, it just is not going to fit under this bridge. And it starts to get wedged between the bridge and the ground, and the punt's already underneath the bridge by this point. And for a moment, I'm like, maybe I hold on and I can free us somehow. I'll twist it. It'll be okay. And it starts tugging me towards the water. And I'm like, no, I don't want to fall in this river. So I let go and duck down under this bridge. And the punt goes gliding under and we leave our pole behind us. Now, if I'd have seen this situation as it really was, seen the low bridge, seen the tall pole, seen what was going to happen, I would have acted differently and punted in a way that would have meant we could have carried on going instead of having to paddle the water back to get our pole again. I think that sometimes God knows that we need to be able to see things differently to how we first see them in order to be able to live differently and make different choices. And that is what God gives us here. As most of you know, I'm currently working on my dissertation for my theology master's. And what many of you perhaps don't know is what that is on. So in part, I'm looking at such visions of the future as this one that we had read from Isaiah 2. And I'm also looking at contemporary art. And one of the works of art that I've been looking at and reading about this week is a piece called Green River. Now we can debate contemporary art and what counts as art and what art is for over lunch later. But this is effectively a river where a Danish-Icelandic artist called Olafur Eliasson has poured in a lot of this powder that is used for water maintenance checks. It's non-toxic and it disappears after a little while, but when it makes contact with water, it makes it bright green. And so he poured a lot of this over a bridge into a river in Stockholm, and the river went green. And one of the things that struck me, I was reading an interview that was made with him earlier this week, and he was saying how when it went green, people started to look, they started to notice, they started to gather around and see this river that had just become a normal part of their life, that their city was built around, but just had become the norm. And it struck me with relation to this vision in Isaiah that sometimes we stop noticing things because things just become the norm. That the people in Isaiah's day had become so wrapped up in the normal everyday things that they'd stopped noticing and stopped seeing where God was there. So they'd stopped living as if God was there because they'd stopped recognizing that God was there. And so God brings this word and this vision to Isaiah to share with the people and say, look, it's not just what you see around you. There's more to life than that. I'm here. There's more to life. And you need to live like there is more to life because I am here. This is the book of Isaiah that later says, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like them, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. The people of God in Isaiah's day had starved their imagination by fears about politics and rulers, and by the surrounding cultures, by looking upon the faces of idols, by becoming distracted from who God is. And Isaiah comes to them, and God speaks to them, that they might begin to use their imagination aright, that they would turn it towards God, and God could show them that life is different to just what they see with their eyes, so that they could come to trust that God is in control, that God is with them, that God will not leave them, and that one day God will reign righteously over all. I want to tell you another story, this time about when I just started my second term at Newbold, so last September. Someone had made a mess with the finances, and this was causing problems for me and a number of my close friends in terms of our accommodation and what we needed to pay for it. And then this was then dealt with quite poorly by a few people. And I was suddenly in this position where I was witnessing people who loved God, but whose actions promoted what I saw as injustice and unfairness and deceit and falsehood, and kind of dragged me into that as well. And I'm sure we've all had that, where we see people who claim to love God and yet whose actions don't treat people with the love that we expect of them, or turn away people or treat people badly. And I felt guilty and I felt angry all at the same time until I felt numb, because I tried to fix everything and I couldn't do it. And these things, the actions of other people and myself trying to fix everyone and even everything and even everyone, they starved my imagination of God. I could no longer see God in this situation. I could no longer speak to God about it. And this went on for a couple of weeks or so. And one night I decided to go running, and to this day I do not know why I did that, because I really hate running and I'm really bad at it. But I didn't want to go far and I wasn't going to be out long, and I just wanted to get outside and feel like I was doing something, even if there was no worthy cause. And when I came back, super out of breath and exhausted after like 20 minutes, I was really, really warm and I just didn't want to go inside yet. And so I went out into the football field that we have on campus there, and I looked up. And there were stars everywhere. Like, Newbold is fairly out in the sticks, and there weren't any lights on this field or anything. I don't know if you've been anywhere like that. And you just look up, and there are so many stars. So many. And it's like, seeing those, I was just reminded a little of God's power in creating all of that, and God's presence in being there with me. And I just told God why I was annoyed, why I was angry, venting it out in the middle of this field. And I crouched down to kind of rest my legs, and I just let myself fall back into this wet grass and lie there looking up. With my sight just that little bit corrected to be focusing on the awesomeness of God rather than the annoyances of human beings. Sometimes we need to correct our vision and our focus so that we can correct how we live and the choices that we make. Isaiah shifts the people's vision. He paints a picture with God's word of a mountain so high and so tall, lifted above all other hills. The other mountains become hills because they're so small in comparison to God's holy mountain. And all the nations flow like rivers, and many peoples come to it, wanting to learn from God about God's ways and how to walk in God's paths. Because all then recognize that this is where God's word comes from, and this is where God's law comes from that brings peace. And then with God reigning over all, people have no need for weapons anymore because there's no war. And instead of the common saying in Isaiah's day that talked about wars and people conscripted and forced to fight for them, and people forced to turn their farming implements into weapons for those wars, Isaiah says it will be the complete opposite. There'll be absolutely no threat or possibility of war, that everyone will turn their weapons into plowshares and pruning hooks. That is how wonderful that reality will be. And so Isaiah says, you do not need to live scared now, because that is the reality that is to come. Because again and again in the book of Isaiah, we see that Isaiah prophesies words from God, and people, either the people as a whole or kings, they reject that word from God because they're afraid. They're afraid either that Isaiah is lying, or that Isaiah and ultimately God is wrong. They don't trust who God is because they've forgotten how to see who God is in the world around them. So God extends to them this vision and this promise that he is in control and is a God of peace and righteousness. And so Isaiah concludes that vision saying, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. He makes this vision function to teach the people of God to want and yearn for the things of God, to know that God is mighty and will do these things, but even more than that, to know what to want for and therefore what to live for. This vision tells them that one day the nations and many peoples will come because they want to learn to walk in God's ways and God's paths. But right now, the people of God need to be doing that already. Isaiah says, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us live for this future that right now we can only dream of. Let us live in ways that make visible the light of what God has made visible to us. God shows us who God is and what God wants. Let us now make that visible to other people. And hence we have Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 and onwards, which says, But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. When we, as the people of God today, are able to see who God is, and the things that God wants and cares about, we too need to walk in the light and make that vision visible to those around us. We need to reveal who God is in a world that is desperately in need of God, in need of someone who says, you matter to the vulnerable. You're valuable to the child. You're precious to the elderly person at home on their own. You're mine to the person who is run down with busyness. Isaiah envisioned to the people a reality so different from their war-torn and almost constantly threatened political reality. Paul proclaimed a new freedom that people had, though many remained slaves and others, including Paul himself, became imprisoned and even died because of that freedom. Often the world around us doesn't look very much like it represents who God is. And yet when we look differently, seeking God, God reveals himself in all sorts of ways. And it is then our job to reveal God also through our lives and live like we trust who God is. I read something a couple of months ago about this passage from Ephesians that I was reminded of when I was preparing for this sermon. And I'll finish on this. It said, we all have any number of visions and ideals when we are young, but sooner or later we find that we have no power to make them real. We cannot do the things we long to do, and we are apt to settle down to the visions and ideals as dead. And God has to come and say, arise from the dead. And when this inspiration of God does come, whether a vision like that of Isaiah, or a truth like that of Paul, or a refocusing like that of my experience looking at the stars, It comes with such miraculous power that we are able to arise from the dead and do the impossible thing. Paul quotes two texts from Isaiah when he says, "Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And God comes and says that to us too, telling us that often we don't want big enough. We don't yearn strongly enough for the things and the ways of God. And therefore we don't really walk in the light. But he also comes with the power that proclaims that if we trust him, God makes it possible for us to awake and to arise from the dead, to live in a way that is starkly different from the norm. We can make the best use of the time, as the passage calls us to do, loving those who remain unloved, giving to those who can't or won't give back to us in return, sharing rest with those who are busy, being thankful and kind and thinking of others before ourselves, being encouraging and building others up instead of grabbing at power whenever we can. We can walk out into the world as it is now, walking as though at night, whilst also walking as if for the world we know God longs for and is making, walking in the light of the Lord. Lord, we pray that you would guide each of us to live for you this week, to discover you afresh in the ways that you reveal yourself to us, and to then reveal that to the world around us. Lord, give us your power and your strength. May we rise up as if on wings like eagles to do your will in the world as we go out. In your great name we pray. Amen.